Everybody, it's time to get started. We're running a little bit behind. I've got a few announcements. Of course, our prayer list with Mike Porter's Burns, Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson, Ken and Sandy White, Demetria's stomach, still having some problems with that, Sherry Stevers, swollen and infected mouth, ear infection, and lack of sleep. Pearl has a doctor's appointment this Tuesday on the 2nd. Deborah Pohl's aunt is close to death, and the Pohls have been with the family.
The aunt passed.
Oh, did? Okay. Shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King, are homebound. And it looks like the only birthday we had last week was James Miller had a birthday. No?
No.
That's wrong?
Next month. June.
Oh. Well, it's still this month.
Almost June.
So I guess, okay, up and coming birthdays and anniversaries. Jim Watson on the 31st today. Happy birthday. Ryan Watson, the Volkers have an anniversary on the 2nd. Simmons' anniversary on the 6th. Miller's anniversary on the 12th. And Don DeMario has a birthday on the 14th. And I guess James Miller will have one on the 27th of this month, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The Cranes did have an anniversary.
Okay. And
last week.
Okay. And we have another announcement here for James Miller's first cousin, Jessica, lost her husband, Chad, unexpectedly yesterday morning. He was found unconscious on the floor. He was blue, and attempts were unsuccessful to revive him. He was about 47 years old, and they have two children. Keep them in your prayers. Doug Reed, a member of the Vianna Church of Christ, passed away. He's been fighting with cancer for several months. He was in his early 70s. And then also the order of worship. Evangelism prayer will be James Oliver. Songs will be James Miller. Prayer will be Don DeMario. Lord's Supper will be David Morris and Josh Blair. Door greeters are the Olivers and the Blairs in June. Scripture reading. I'm not sure who's doing the scripture reading. They've got Brent down here, and I don't think he's here. We'll have to get somebody to do that. Sermon will be Doug Berry.
We don't have to.
Okay.
There's no one assigned to it.
I don't care to do it if you want read.
Okay, if you want to do it, that'd be great.
Okay. Scripture reading will be Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, and I'll be doing that. Closing prayer will be Charles Wall, and then we do have our services this evening at 5 o'clock, and the services for Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And that's all I have, unless anybody has any other announcements to make.
Let's give thanks to our Lord. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to sing songs unto you and hear another portion of your word and have fellowship here in this congregation of your church. And as always, we always ask for guidance that we try to do things that are pleasing unto you. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have for our evangelism effort and that we're trying to spread the gospel more please help us to get back to the basics and be able to help individuals with the plan of salvation. Tell them what they need to do so they can be added to the church and be a member of your church and find a place in your kingdom. And we ask that you be with the ones that are working in this effort to try to spread the gospel. Always help us to persevere and have patience, for we know it takes patience a lot of times to do things on an individual basis. But please guide us and help us and direct us to spread the gospel forward. And we ask that you always watch over and guide us in all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first song selection this morning is number 515, that song title, On Zion's Glorious Summit. On Zion's Glorious Summit, this is song 515 in our hymnals. We'll sing through all three verses, and then it says there in the books that Sanctus will be after the last stanza only.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymn their King in straits, even I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sore or flank.
The song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this morning, Pure in Heart, O God. This is song 542 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Pure in Heart, O God, song 542. We'll sing this song and then be led in prayer.
My life wholly to thee.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again today thankful for the opportunity to meet together in this house. We are thankful for all the many, many blessings that you share with us. Father, we have many of our number that have physical pain and ailments that they need your healing touch. And we pray if it be your will, you will touch them and heal them so they can be back with us. Father, many in this house right now have things that they're suffering from that we pray that you will help them to recover and be at ease. Father, we have a world that we live in that is not always as peaceful as it should be. We pray that you will touch the hearts of the leaders, help them to make the decisions based on your will and not theirs. Father, look over the countries such as the Ukraine and Iran and all those places that are having conflict right now. Be with those leaders, be with those people, help them to find the needs that they have to get by from day to day. Father, in our own community, we have opportunities to reach out. Father, we talk all the time about the things that we need to do and the ways we can go out and help. Please show us those opportunities and help us to use those opportunities to bring those in the world out there here. Father, as we go through this sermon and this lesson today, please help it to apply to our hearts. Help us to use those things to be the better Christians that we should be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we commune, we will sing the song, Off We Come Together. This is 511 in our hymnals. Off We Come Together, song 511. We'll sing this song and then share together the Lord's Supper.
Off we come together, off we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, thy love to sing. May we all in truth and spirit worship.
Let's go, God, in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of memorial now to remember your Son, his life, death, and resurrection. Father, as we eat this bread, we ask, Father, that you help us to remember Christ came in a physical body. He experienced all the things that humanity brings, Father. Hunger, disappointments, struggles with physical life. And Father, he did all those things, but he did them without complaining. And Father, he He showed us how a human life can be. He was the only perfect one, Father, but he was our sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. He had a heart of love for us as your people and for all of mankind. He offered his body up on that cross. Wounded, spat upon, shamed, ridiculed, laughed at, and mocked. Yet he didn't return those kinds of feelings and those kinds of things to those who did it then and to those who do it today in a spiritual sense. He returns hostility with love. And we're thankful that he did that. Father, as we eat this bread, let us remember truly that Jesus came as a man and lived among us. We're thankful for this memorial feast. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this cup, fruit of the vine, which represents the blood Jesus shed upon the cruel cross of Calvary, where he died for our sins. Please bless this cup and those partake of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As a separate part of our worship, we have an opportunity to give back a portion to God that he's blessed us with this past week. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for all the many ways you bless us, Father. And Father, one of those ways is physically and financially and with our health. We appreciate those things, Father. We appreciate the world you've created for us, for the enjoyment of it. And Father, you've made ways for us to be able to provide for ourselves, Father, and we're thankful that you've done that. And we know, Father, that all good things come from you. All that we possess are really just your possessions on loan. Father, as we offer back to you a portion that you bless us with, we ask that you help it to accomplish your will, that you help it to help evangelize to our community and to the world, that it provides a way for the gospel to be reached to those souls that are in need, Father. Bless us now as we offer back. Help us to do so cheerfully and willingly. In Christ's name, amen.
Our next song selection, the title in our books, I Have Found a Friend in Jesus. This is song 274, if you're following along in our hymnals. Again, that title in our books, I Have Found a Friend in Jesus. It's 274, same song as on the screen.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement that we'll sing after this morning's lesson, that number is 125. Do You Know My Jesus? Song 125, that's an encouragement hymn that we will sing after this morning's lesson. Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to the scripture reading and the lesson, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom. This is song 589 in our hymnals. Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, 589.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you of the kingdom, brother in the heat of a new day's flare. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, you must reap at the last great day. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?
Today's scripture reading will be in the book of Matthew, verses 21 and 22. That can be found in your pew Bibles on page 852. And the Bible reads, "You have heard that the angels were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You are good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell."
The first couple weeks, Sundays in May, April, I had preached about the second coming of Christ and heaven as our home. So many times people want to believe and think that there's a heaven, but there's not a hell. And I think it's important that we study this as you, if you believe the Bible is so, and you believe the Bible is true, and you believe in a heaven, the Bible teaches as well, especially the New Testament, that there is a hell and an eternal punishment for those that are not ready to meet God and their Savior. So this is where our lesson is coming from today. First, we want to look at, as we did in our scripture reading, about Jesus' warnings, some warnings that Jesus gave that there was a hell, fire and brimstone. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Satan is going to cause those to follow him to be lost soul and body in hell. And we need to understand this, and Jesus is warning about it, and the scriptures we're looking at about Jesus' warnings are just not all of them that he gives, in, of course, in the Gospels, but want us to see that Jesus believed in hell. And it's important that we understand this, so that as we, Jesus said to his righteous ones, "I go to prepare a place for you," and there's also a place being prepared for the devil and his angels and those who follow them. Then in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15, he says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and where he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Well, of course, Jesus is condemning the scribes and Pharisees here as hypocrites, those that were not following after God's plan, but had misused it, had abused it, had added to his word. And he says, if you make one converters, one person converted to the way you believe and to follow, then you are in trouble, because you make that person twice as bad as yourself, and what? A son of hell as yourself. So he's telling them that the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, were already condemned to hell as far as the way that they were living and the way that they're acting. Now we know that many Pharisees and Sadducees later, after Christ's resurrection, would come and be obedient to the gospel. But there were many that were not, that were those that stood in opposition, those that cried at the cross, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then we looked at the second coming of Christ. You know, we had looked at the second coming of Christ, and it's important that we recognize that at that same time, the day of the Lord was coming. The day of the Lord you had to be prepared for, and that you had to watch out for that day, for the righteous to watch out for that day. But also that same day, we're going to see as we study this and look at it and understand that same day, those that are not caught up into heaven are going to be destroyed when the earth is destroyed, and then the judgment day. Well, in this parable that Jesus had told in Matthew 13, he told the parable, remember, of the seed that had been sown, and then also there's some tares began to come up within the wheat, right? And his servants came and said to the master, well, should we pull up these tares? And the master said, no, don't do that. Wait till the harvest time. Well, this is Jesus explaining that now in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 39. The enemy who sowed them, that's the seeds, this is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So there's going to come a time where there is going to be, at the end time, at the day that Jesus comes back with his angels, that those that are not righteous, that are left on this earth, are going to be destroyed with fire, and there's going to be everlasting wailing and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like a very good thing, is it? I mean, we have to understand, and we need to believe and understand that the Bible is saying that hell and torment is a horrible place, that we don't want to have anything or any part with that as Christians. God doesn't tell us just these things to scare us. We know that many things in the Bible is about how wonderful it is to be with God, how wonderful it is to come to Christ, all that Christ did for us. But Christ did that for us so that we would not have to be a part of what he's talking about here. God does not want us to go to hell. Amen. God wants us to go to eternal heaven. But he also is warning us that if we are not following after him, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. We don't want to be against God. We don't want to be against his word. We don't want to be against what he teaches. And so we need to be, so when he comes and his angels come to gather, that we are a part of the gathering of the righteous and not a part of the unrighteous. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're not going to read that again now, but we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we talked about the second coming of Christ, that those that were that had been dead, Jesus brought with him, and the resurrection took place, and then also that the righteous would be caught up to meet him in the sky. Well, the very next chapter, he says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord that he had just talked about in chapter 4 so comes as a thief in the night. Did Jesus not warn this often enough that at that time, the end of time was going to come as a thief in the night, that no one knew when this was going to happen, not even himself, only God the Father knew? So it's going to come at a time when we don't know, when we're not expecting it, and we just need to be ready. But he tells us to be ready, right? But that day is going to come as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So when that time comes, when that day of the Lord comes, those that are not right with God, they shall not escape the day of the Lord. Then in 2 Thessalonians, again to the same church, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Let's read first of all verses 6 through 8. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what he is doing here, he's trying to comfort the righteous, saying that, you know, you have been persecuted. You have gone under, you've been, you know, suffered here, that God is going to deliver you. He's going to give, but he's going to give trouble to those that have resisted you, have resisted the truth, have stood against what is right before God. And he says that in verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. Okay, now when Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels are going to bring flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey God. So that's why one of the makes it important, so important, that when Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because if they do not know, they're not going to be saved. And if they do not believe, people do not believe and follow God, they are not going to be saved. And the penalty is going to be, they're going to, the angels are going to bring flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to really take this serious. I think it should give us another level of seriousness and importance when we talk about what we're trying to do with the evangelism program, when we're trying to reach people. What can we do more to reach more people and so on? We need to examine this and look at it. What can we do so that when the time comes that we can take as many with us as possible? I believe that our purpose here is, first of all, to become children of God and to worship God and to serve him, to encourage and help our brothers and sisters grow in the Lord, and to take as many with us to eternal heaven as we possibly can. We don't want the lost to be lost. We want them to know the joy of heaven and not the fire of hell. Let's go on and read verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So those that are being punished like this, he's going to take vengeance on with flaming fire. This is not just they're going to burn up and it's done. It's going to be continuous, everlasting destruction. Now, I can't comprehend what that really means. I know what it says. I believe what it says. But to be destroyed over and over and over and over again for all eternity. Everlasting destruction. And they're going to be away from the presence of God. One of our greatest blessings as Christians, if we're walking with God, is that we will be with him forever and ever, right? We will be in the presence of God. We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And we'll be in his heaven. We'll be with him. But if we're not, to be not with God, some people have said, and I think maybe that's so true, spend eternity without God. In the presence of everyone and everything that has been evil and bad throughout eternity. I don't want to be a part of that, do you? I don't want to be a part of that. But we understand that we want to do what God says so we don't have to be a part of that. So we don't have to be punished for eternal destruction. Then in verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. There's going to be a glorious day when he comes in the day of the Lord, right? It's going to be a glorious day as we walk with the Lord. But in that day, that same day, eternal destruction will fall on the unrighteous. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, if he did not spare them, did not spare angels whom he created in heaven to be his servants, whom Satan deceived and had them following after him," which in the New Testament I think are called demons, right? Not just angels, but demons. And they came to deceive man. They came to deceive you and me, trying to get us to go after them so that we would go to hell. Satan does not want anyone to go to heaven. But who's more powerful, God or Satan? If God is for me, who can be against me, right? God is greater. God is mightier. And we can trust God that he will be the one that will deliver us when we turn to him, as we turn to him day in and day out, to overcome the temptations that we face day in and day out. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, let's start with verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." There we have that same phrase again, "in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Well, what's going to happen on the day of the Lord? The heavens will pass away with a great noise. Why? They're no longer needed. Everything physical is going to be come to an end, is going to be destroyed. The heavens, I can't imagine what that would be like. How are we going to hear the sun, the moon, the stars explode, I guess. I don't even know how to put it in a matter of well that we can understand. But they're going to come to an end. Even the very elements. I thought about this. You think about the elements, right? I think about the elements, you know, all the elements of the periodic table. Now, I'm not a biology or science major by any means, but even those things are going to be burned up. Even the smallest atoms are going to be burned up and destroyed. Everything physical is going to come to an end. They're going to melt with fervent heat. And those that are left upon this earth at that destruction time are going to face that. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I should get Mike to come up here and tell us what it's like to have a bad burn, Mike. You know, it's just terrible. You see his arm and such. Mike, have been many prayers said for you. But to think that to be burned up all continuously, to be burned with fire, that's not something that any person should ever want or desire. I see in... Okay, I like Louis Lamar books, okay, Western writers. And sometimes the bad guys say that, well, he's going to hell and I'm going to go with him, take him with me, or something like that. They have no idea what they're talking about, no idea what they're thinking. Because to do that is nothing to ever say, well, it's just an option, that's going to be what's going to be. No one should ever say, I'm ready to go to hell. Because if you really understood what God is telling us, that no one would ever want to go to hell. And then in verse 11, he says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved," got that idea? Dissolved? What do? When you dissolve something, it comes to no existence, right? "What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening again the coming of the day of God?" They will be dissolved, right? What manner of person ought you to be in conduct and godliness? Just give it really thought of what he's telling us here. What kind of people should we be so that we will be ready when the coming of the day of the Lord? And looking for, he says in 12, looking for and hastening the day. As Christians, yes, we should look forward and hasten the day of the coming of the Lord for ourselves, right? We should want that. We should seek that. That should be our desire and our passion and our purpose, is to be seeking that. "Come, Lord Jesus," as it says in Revelations, right? At the end, "Come, Lord Jesus. We're ready for you, God. Come, take us home." Paul says it's greater for me to go and be with God than to stay here and be with you in Philippians. But the greatest thing that we can do is to be ready at the day of God, looking for and hasting that day. It goes on, and then in verse 12, the rest of verse 12, "because of which the heavens will be dissolved, there's that word again, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. What kind are we looking forward to? We're looking for that hastening of that great day to be with him, or are we looking for the day when we will burn in hell with gnashing of teeth away from God forever and ever? Well, what about eternal hell? What does it say, Bible tell us about this? By the way, there are four words that are used for the word hell in the Greek language. Of course, there is the word Hades, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. Hades meaning the place of the dead. Gehenna, which in the place of the dead, Hades, was where the rich man was, right, in torment. That was Gehenna. Tartarus is the word for hell, okay, in the Greek language. So I'm just drawing a blank on the third word. But there's four words in the Greek language that mean hell. But when we see the word hell, this is when we're talking about hell. This is the word we're talking about, eternal hell. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Now the beast and the false prophet in the New Testament and in Revelation here were those that were false teachers and leading other people astray. Many people think that the beast was Rome. False prophets were those that supported him and caused many people to turn from God. But anyway, the devil is going to be what? Cast into the lake of fire. So the first creation that's going into the fire is the devil and his angels. So God is not going to put up with this anymore. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Is there any doubt about what God is saying here? Is it going to be one time and zoom and you're gone? No. Just like heaven is eternal righteousness right with God, the torment of hell is day and night forever and ever. Then in Revelation 20, continuing down in verses 13 through 15, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now there's the key. Now we know that in Hades, the place of the dead, was those that were in Abraham's bosom, like Lazarus, right? But then there are those that were in torment, like the rich man. The dead were in Hades were delivered up, and the dead were in them, and they were judged according, how were they judged? Each one according to his works. And we find out in the next verse that we look at here, that he's talking about if our names are written in the book of life or if they're not. The death in Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In other words, God is saying we're no longer going to have death. We're no longer going to have a place of the dead because there's no longer need of that. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be put away and done with. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the key is that how are your name written in the Lamb's book of life? When we are obedient to God, when we believe in him with all our hearts and have faith in him, then when we repent of our sins and turn to God, when we call on his name, and that we're baptized into Christ and we're raised. Why are we baptized into Christ? To get rid of our sins so we can be raised to walk in newness of life, a life that God wants us to live with him and in him forever. And so God tells us that when we're baptized into him, our names are in the book of life. We are in the family of God. Now, can our names come out of that book? Obviously. We know of people in the Bible that talks about that they had left God. And they were turned over to Satan to be, you know, because of their sins and their temptation. Think about Judas and what happened with him. Then in Revelation 21 in verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now we know that there are several listings of sins in the New Testament to show us what God does not want to be part of. But it strikes me here that he's talking about what I think about looking at these really bad people, you know, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. So and cowardly, you know, a cowardly person. The cowardly person in the time of Rome, in the time of the persecution, was that once a year Rome said, if you want to continue to do business in Rome, you have to take a pinch of incense and say, put it on the altar and say, Caesar is Lord. That's all he did, once a year. But God says that's writing, Satan was writing their names on their hands and on their forehead, and they no longer belong to him. Once a year. So their names were written, not written in the book of life. They shall have not have their part in the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, I'll say very clearly, very distinctly, I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there. Do you want to go there? I think we need to answer that emphatically. No, I don't want to have any part of that. I don't want to have any part of that. Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, so we will not have to go there. Will you accept Jesus and obey him for eternal life? He wants you to have eternal life, not eternal destruction, eternal life. Or will you reject Jesus and spend eternity in hell? It's a choose. We choose that. It's our decision to follow him or to reject him. Jesus does not want you and I to go to hell. He does not want that. It's not what he wants for us. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he lived a sinless life. That's why he died on the cross and rose again, so we would not have to go to hell, so that we could go to heaven and be with him forever. He died for you to take, for me, for you and me, for us, to take us to heaven. Put your faith in him today, now more than ever. Repent and be baptized and take away your sins so that you can walk with him and live with him, to rise to walk in newness of life. Won't you come to him today, as today we now stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know?
In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. After that prayer, I've got a little bit more that I want to say in regard to one of our announcements this morning, and I'd like to say that off the air. Don, if you can stop that after our prayer this morning. For our prayers, both closing and going forward into this week, we want to remember all those that are on our prayer list. The names, some of them are listed with some details in our bulletin. Others maybe maybe not so much detail, but we want to be encouragers of all those that are struggling in various ways. We want to be encouragers of this evangelistic effort, and pray that, that God will bless us in our service, and we know that He will. We know with certainty that we will be blessed if we will put the effort needed for bringing lost souls the message of salvation. Is there anything further that we need to make known to the congregation before we pray?
We're thankful, our Father, for another opportunity we had this morning on the first day of the week to come together to recognize You as our God and Jesus as our Savior and Your Word as our direction to heaven. We're thankful, Father, for those in radio land. We pray, Father, if they've never obeyed Your gospel of Christ, that they'll come here and accept Him and be baptized for remission of their sins. Father, those that haven't been faithful, they can always pray their prayer to God that they can stand restored once again. We pray, Father, Your best Christians not able to be with us today, evidently not feeling well. Pray Your best the Miller family, Father, the loss of their loved one. Comfort them during this time. Pray also Your best Debbie and the passing of her aunt, that passed, give her comfort. Bless us all, Father, and help us and to do what's right, to live in a country that's always have freedom to recognize You as the one that should be. If You be with us, Father, as we go through this life, give us strength and courage to always have a positive mind and put You first in our lives, because Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom if you want to get to heaven. Be with us all, Father. Forgive our sin. Bring us back tonight at 5. Bring us back this Wednesday evening at 6. May we always live closer to You, that we might spend eternity with You in that last day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated for just a minute. This won't take very long this morning.